From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Russian authorities are searching for those responsible for twin suicide bombings in Moscow. And as Jessica Gallagher reports, the number of dead has climbed to 38.
No one has taken responsibility for the bombings as of yet, but Russian authorities suspect Islamic militants from the country's North Caucasus region are responsible for the attacks. The area has seen an increase in threats from Islamist insurgents who many analysts say are in a civil war with the Kremlin-backed administrations of that region. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev recently called violence in the area, which includes Chechnya, Dagestan, and Ingushetia, one of the country's biggest domestic problems, even though Russian officials recently said that strides had been made to stamp out attacks in the region. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Vladimir Putin has promised the public that the terrorists will be destroyed. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev has also increased security throughout the country's railways, airports, and metro stations. For NPR News, I'm Jessica Gallagher in Moscow.
Nine members of a Michigan-based Christian militia group have been indicted on charges of sedition and weapons charges by federal authorities. Seven members of the group were arraigned in Detroit today amid allegations they were preparing to carry out a plot to kill law enforcement officials. The FBI arrested the majority of the defendants over the weekend in raids carried out in Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. Amanda Behrens works at a pizza shop next door to one of the homes that was raided and says it was a surprise.
They were always really nice and quiet. They gave off that vibe, you know, they might be a little off. But some people do that. We had no reason to believe anything like this.
Prosecutors contend the group planned to kill police officers, then attack their funeral with homemade bombs. The group apparently believed itself to be preparing for an armed struggle with the U.S. government. A ninth suspect remains at large. Mexican authorities announced they have arrested a suspect in the recent murders of three people connected to the U.S. consulate in Juarez. More from NPR's John Burnett.
A spokesman for the Chihuahua State Police said the suspected gunman is a leader of the Barrio Azteca gang, a notorious criminal organization that works for the Juarez drug cartel and operates in both El Paso and Juarez. His identity is expected to be revealed later today at a press conference in Juarez. On March 13th, assailants killed consulate employee Leslie Enriquez and her husband, both U.S. citizens, while they sat in their vehicle not far from the International Bridge. Their infant daughter was unharmed in the back seat. The same day, the husband of a Mexican consulate employee was also shot to death in his vehicle. Both had left the same children's party in Juarez. There's been an intense manhunt for the perpetrators. FBI agents worked with their counterparts in Juarez, and local and state police in El Paso rounded up dozens of Azteca members for questioning. John Burnett, NPR News, El Paso.
Consumers kept up their spending last month in another sign the economy is turning around. The government says personal spending was up 0.3% in February. U.S. stocks ended higher today as energy companies advanced with commodity prices as the U.S. dollar weakened. The Dow was up 45 points today. The Nasdaq gained 9 points. You're listening to NPR. An official who is part of the committee vetting candidates for ties to Saddam Hussein's old regime has recommended four candidates elected to parliament on the winning list, led by former Prime Minister Iyad Alawi, be disqualified. The official, speaking on condition of anonymity, says the individuals in question were found to have ties to Saddam's Ba'ath Party. Alawi's coalition, which has the backing of minority Sunnis, won a two-seat victory over incumbent Nouri al-Maliki in the recent elections there. A Cook County Circuit Court judge has lifted a temporary restraining order on an Illinois law requiring guardians be notified at least 48 hours before a girl 17 or younger has an abortion. But a Chicago Public Radio's Susie Ahn reports the law will not take effect immediately.
Legal debate over the parental notification law has been ongoing for years, and today Judge Daniel Riley lifted the temporary restraining order that had barred its enforcement. But he also stated the law discriminates between pregnant minors who elect to have an abortion and minors who decide to take the pregnancy to term. Parents are not required to be notified if their teen daughter gives birth. Colleen Connell is the executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois.
We think that the judge's decision leaves open the opportunity for a more carefully crafted challenge, and we intend to actively and quickly explore that.
The ACLU is considering legal options, including filing an appeal. The judge approved a stay in the law's enforcement to allow appeals to be worked through in the case. For NPR News, I'm Susie Ahn in Chicago.
Crude oil futures prices moved higher today. Oil was up $2.17 a barrel to close at $82.39 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News, in Washington.